Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek. Today is Monday. It's November the 2nd. Today's a big day in the church. Today is the commemoration of the commemoration of All Souls. This is typically referred to as All Souls Day. And I just want to briefly mention, we're going to look at the Mass readings today because they're really good. Let me just back up a little bit. Yesterday, November the 1st, was the day dedicated to focusing or commemorating all of the saints in heaven. That's everyone who lives in heaven, not known and unknown. Now, the church has canonized saints, but the church also recognizes there's people in heaven who are not officially recognized as saints, but who are there. They could be your relatives, your friends. We just don't know. And the church reminds us that we are all called to be saints. So that's a good day. It's a happy day. We celebrate. Now, today, we focus on the souls in purgatory, the souls being purified, the souls who are certainly on their way to heaven. They're going to get there eventually, but they need some form of purification. And today the church encourages us to pray for the souls, to pray for their release from purification, from purgatory, so that they can be enter into heaven. So as such, the readings talk about that idea that there is a purification process. It's been a long-standing belief of the church. If you're not Catholic, I realize this is a Catholic belief, but it's always been, going way, way, way back, the common teaching of the church that a purification is necessary in order to get to heaven. The Bible tells us that nothing unclean can enter into heaven. And honestly, if you look at yourself, you look at me, right? I'm a sinner. I am imperfect. What if I die tomorrow? There obviously has to be some purification process taking place. It could be instantaneous. It could be longer. We just don't know before we actually make it into heaven. And that's what this recognition of this state of purification, commonly called purgatory, is all about. So that's the focus today. We focus on the souls. And, you know, if you have deceased family members, you have deceased friends, it's the best thing you can do for them. A lot of times we think like, oh, if only I did more for them. Well, this is our chance. This is our chance to pray for them, because once their time on earth is up, they can't do anything to help themselves. Again, I'm falling back on the teaching of the church. So we want to pray for them today. So we'll take a look at those readings from the Mass. And remember to pray for those souls who are in the process. They're on their way to heaven. They're going to get there, but they are being purified. I hope you're doing well. I hope your day is going well. It is a windy, blustery day here in New Jersey, but the good thing is the sun's out. It's a beautiful day. I had a great weekend. I hope you did as well. And let's turn to our Father in heaven in prayer right now, and then we'll kick off the show after that. All right, you ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. We recognize that you see us right now, that you hear us, that you are constantly with us, that you love us. We turn to you, Father, and we ask you to bless us, our family and friends. Please accept all of our intentions. Please help us with the things that burden us. Please guide us. Keep us free from sin today. We ask you to have mercy on all of the souls in purgatory, especially the souls of our deceased family and friends, and those who have no one to pray for them. Father, I ask you to give me the words for the program today. Guide my thoughts, my words. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message and to be willing to put it into practice. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek. You are listening to Following the Truth. We do this every Monday through Friday, and I'm really glad that you're with me for the program today. Pretty much every day, I just follow the lead of the Spirit. I go where the Spirit leads me. Today, I feel I'm supposed to look at the readings for today's Mass. Before I do that, I want to let you know, if you want to find out more information about my work, please visit my website, which is followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. I also want to remind you that as I record this, tomorrow is Election Day in the United States. Please go out and vote. It's very important. And it's very important that we vote as Christians. I'm not going to say too much, but God cares how we vote. We have Christian beliefs and practices. Again, I understand not everybody who listens to this is Catholic. I am Catholic. I am going to vote according to Catholic principles. I am going to vote for life. I'm going to vote for those candidates who support life in all of its in all of its stages, from conception till natural death. That's how I'm going to vote. That's my issue. That's my number one issue. Of course, there are other issues, but when you talk about life, I don't know how it gets any, I don't know how anything else can match up. And again, that's the teaching of the church. We should vote as Christians because it really does matter. So please make sure you do that. If you have not done so, please vote and pray for the country. You know, there's a lot of division right now in the United States, a lot of hatred, a lot of frustration. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So just please keep the country in your prayers and don't make the mistake of not doing your civic duty. All right. It really is important. God really does care that we vote and that we vote according to Christian principles. All right. So today is, as I said, the celebration or the commemoration of All Souls. We focus on all of the souls who are being purified right now on their way to heaven. They're going to get there. But we can lessen their suffering, you know, because they're, what we have is a separation and a purification process, which, you know yourself, that sometimes when God's working with you to help you break free from a bad habit or just, you know, the tendency to commit the same sins over and over again, it's painful. When he's trying to teach you something, when he's trying to draw you closer to him, a lot of times what he does is he has to send you into the storm. He lets a storm enter into your life, and you know it's not fun. So we can feel what these people are going through, especially your deceased loved ones, your friends, and we want to help them. You know, we have sympathy for what they're going through, and we want to do what we can to help them. So this is the day dedicated to doing that, to praying for their souls, to make some sacrifices, offer up your suffering. You know, that's powerful. That's really powerful. And then in conjunction with yesterday, again, we focused on the souls who have reached heaven. Today, we're looking at the souls who are being purified in purgatory. Just the reflection that, you know, that's where we're all headed one day. This life on earth, it's not permanent. Sometimes we live as if it is, and we look for all of our enjoyment here, and we neglect the fact that we're going to be alive for all eternity somewhere. We want to make sure that we don't get to the wrong place, if you know what I mean. So that's why it's important to focus on heaven. The gospel from today's Mass is from John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." Now, you know, before I go on with this is a great message in the gospel. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. He came not to do his own will. Now, they matched up perfectly. The will of Jesus, the will of the Father, they were the same. Remember, Jesus was divine. But being fully human as well as fully divine, Jesus sets the example for us. He gives us the model. We should be modeling our lives after him. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to do that. You know, a lot of times whenever we sin, we're not doing God's will. We're not doing the will of the Father. But when we turn away from sin and resist temptation with the help of the grace that the Lord gives us, we are imitating Jesus in doing the Father's will. That's not the key point of this gospel, especially on this day, but it's a point that really bears focusing on a little bit. Jesus said, "This is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day." He's talking about us here. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." Now, the implication there is, and this is where I think we can get ourselves in trouble sometimes. Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. And that's good. But he's not just saying, if you believe that I exist. What he's saying is, if you believe in me, I mean, really believe in me, if you believe in him, if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, then you will accept him as your Lord and Savior, right? Then you will listen to him and do what he says. And that's the ultimate proof that you believe in him, that you listen to him. Because otherwise, you don't really believe in him. Yeah, you believe that he exists maybe as some historical figure. But believing in him is a whole different story. If you really, really believe in Jesus, you're going to listen to him. You're going to let him call the shots, and you're going to follow him. And if you do that, you're going to have no problem making it to heaven. But we just got to be careful that we don't oversimplify this. Yes, I believe in Jesus, therefore it's a done deal. I'm in. Well, no, you can't just go living your life any way you want. Believing him means really believing in him. And I'll be honest, I say I believe in him, but there are times when I slip up. When I believe in him to an extent, until he challenges me too much, until he asks me to trust him in the midst of a trial or a problem. Then all of a sudden, I kind of block him out a little. And I don't do it intentionally most of the time. But we all tend to have that, we tend to fall into that trap sometimes. So it's just something to keep in mind. And Jesus also tells us with that message in that gospel that the Father's will is for us to be in heaven. He wants us to be in heaven and live with him forever. So that should make you feel good. That really is something to celebrate. Sometimes as Catholics, we're really not good celebrating the fact that we have a place reserved for us in heaven. We really don't do a good job of that. We tend to get sidetracked by some of the details. There is a place for you in heaven. It's there. The only way you're not going to get there is if you mess it up. But we can mess it up by rejecting God. So let's just not do that. Let's follow Jesus. Let's believe in him. Let's do what he says. Honestly, it's really simple. It's challenging, though. Simple, but not necessarily easy. Because life has a way of has a way of just being difficult, getting in the way. The temptations can be very distracting at times. Let's look at the first reading now for All Souls Day. This is from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. "The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed in the view of the foolish to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men, indeed they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation they shall shine, and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with his elect. I love the way that this reading starts out. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. You know, once we die, and I really think that sometimes we don't want to talk about death because it's a scary topic, but I think it's a necessary one. It's not a bad thing, even though it's frightening because there's uncertainty there. There's this, you know, the unknown. I know people have died and supposedly come back from the dead, but for the most part, people don't come back. So we don't know for sure if we're going to like it. Do you ever think that sometimes? Like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be that good. I'm going to be bored all day just sitting around praising God. But we have to believe. We believe by faith that it is going to be great. And we believe that even though we can't understand it, it's going to be fantastic once we get to heaven. So we know that it's difficult to let our loved ones go, our friends. But the souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. That means, with the exception of those who rejected God, and that really, that's what hell is all about. The concept of hell, it's very real. I mean, this is not a hypothetical situation the church talks about. The teaching is that hell is real. People go there. And you go there by rejecting God. This is why in this life we have a choice. Same thing goes with believing in Jesus. Do I believe in Jesus? And if I really believe in him, then I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do what he said. But I do have, through free will, the ability to reject him and his teachings. Just don't do that. But otherwise, with our loved ones, with our friends, we give them to the hand of God. We commend them into the hands of God. And we trust him to take care of them. And we pray for our loved ones that have gone before us. So again, today we pray for the repose of their souls. And we say, Lord, please allow them to enter into their heavenly reward as soon as possible. It's a good habit to do that, you know, throughout every day. To pray for your mom and your dad if they're deceased, siblings, friends. Maybe some of your old teachers, people who have made a difference in your life. That's a way you can repay them, by praying for their souls. The psalm is one of the most popular psalms, probably the most popular psalm. It's my favorite. It's one that you hear often at funerals. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. See, that's the beautiful thing about heaven. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want. He's all I need. That's what heaven is, total happiness. Great thing to think about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Besides restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil. For you are at my side with your rod and your staff. That give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. That idea of dwelling in the heavenly house of the Lord for years to come, for all eternity. Again, it's one of those concepts that we have a hard time wrapping our brain around. You know, eternity is something that you kind of have an idea about, but the concept of eternity forever is one that our finite minds can only take so far. We have trouble grasping that. That's understandable because we have limited intelligence. We have limited capacity to really understand what that means. But that's what's promised you, happiness that lasts forever. I think one of the biggest frustrations, at least for me anyway, in this life, with something I like, when there's something that I really enjoy, is the fact that it doesn't last, or that it won't last forever. And that reminder is that reminder that eternal life will last forever is something that brings me a lot of comfort. Perfect happiness, and it will last forever. Wow. The second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. St. Paul says this, Brothers and sisters, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So, because of what Christ did on the cross, giving up his life, suffering and dying, the gates of heaven are open, and you and me can live forever in heaven. That's the reason that we can rejoice when we think about the life that awaits us after our earthly death. And we have to believe that. We really do have to believe that by faith. I don't have proof of this, but that's what faith is. We have the capacity through faith to rejoice and to get excited about the fact that heaven is real, heaven exists, and I can be there with God forever and live in complete happiness. But again, that concept is hard sometimes for us to understand. It's hard for me to understand. And we all have a limited ability to really picture it because we don't know for sure. But that's what faith is. Faith is not knowing for sure, but believing. So the question is, do we believe? Do we believe that what Jesus said is true? Do we believe that Jesus promised that he's preparing a place for us in heaven? And do we believe we can get there? I do. I have a hard time understanding what it's going to be like. I don't really get the details. You know, how are you going to recognize everybody? What's Jesus going to look like? What kind of body are we going to have? But I don't try to understand it because I just don't get it. But I do know that I want to be there. And I want you to be there too. And I hope we can meet up one day when the time is right. And we just don't know when that's going to be. So let's be prepared. This Sunday at Mass, you're going to hear that message. Stay awake and be ready. Stay awake and be ready. Because we just don't know when. And that's not meant to freak you out. You know, this happens at the end of the church year as we close out one year and head into the next church year, which begins with the season of Advent. It's that reminder, hey, you don't know when the time is. We don't know when our last day on earth will be. So get ready. And then we're in the Advent season, which is a great time to get ready and to focus on our relationship with the Lord, right? Our relationship with him. And looking at all the ways that we might not be following him as much as we should. You know, do I believe him? Do I believe in Jesus? And am I willing to follow him? And if I do, and I do it one day at a time for the rest of my life, I'm going to be in heaven with no problem. And that's my goal. That should be your goal because we were all created to live in heaven. So today, as we bring this show to a close, just remember to say a prayer for those souls in purgatory, especially your deceased family, your friends, people who have had an influence on your life. And also, it's always good practice to pray for the souls who have no one to pray for them. Because there are a lot of Christian denominations, with the exception of Catholics, I'm safe to say that nobody prays for the souls in purgatory. They don't pray for the deceased, because the assumption is that they're already in heaven, but we don't practice that. We believe in praying for the dead. So pray for the souls of the deceased. Pray that they may rest in peace and that they you'll be able to see them one day. All good, right? Hey, if you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. By the way, I want to let you know before we go off the air that tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. Eastern time, I was asked to be on Relevant Radio on the morning air show. They're doing a pledge drive and they want to have me on. I'm going to talk about generosity tomorrow and how joy and generosity are linked together. So if you get a chance, morning air on Relevant Radio, 7:30 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Hope you'll be able to catch me on the program. And it might be great to call in with a question or a comment if you want as well. Again, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I hope you have a great day. Don't forget to vote on Tuesday. And God willing, I plan to be back with you here on the program on Following the Truth. I hope you'll be able to join me. And if you haven't done so, please let your friends know about this show. I can always fit more people at the table. So all are welcome here on Following the Truth. And by the way, donations are a little low. So if you're able to make a donation to my ministry, you could do that by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. And clicking on donate. It's really not an easy thing for me to ask you about the funding and to ask you to support me financially, but it's something that's necessary. And boy, they have been down lately. So anything you can do to help would be greatly appreciated. Again, that's followingthetruth.com. You click on donate and you get directed to PayPal, where you can make a totally secure, either a one-time donation or you can become a monthly sponsor of my work. All right, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Always remember that I am praying for you, and I would ask that if you would kindly pray for me and my family and my ministry, I would be very grateful if you would do that. Okay, is that a deal? We'll pray for each other. We'll pray that we're going to stay on that road, and all of us will end up in heaven one day forever. All right, I'm going to run. Thanks again for listening to the program. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimak, urging you to keep your eye focused on Jesus and keep doing what he says. Talk to you next time. God bless.